In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, total, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Until Shador put up four tutties, right? About one quarter into that game yesterday, I was thinking to myself, how many ways can I say fire Kevin Stefanski tomorrow because of the way the Browns came out of the chute from that game, from the defense giving up quick, easy points early, looking like they had laid down, to on the very first drive, right? On the very first drive, Tennessee just scores. Your very first offensive drive, the first thing you do is run back-to-back plays and run them poorly, where I just think it's at some point, there has to be some punishment. If you run on first and second down, repeatedly, I need Jimmy Haslam to walk out and kick somebody in the skippies. I need something to happen. But thankfully, Shador played well enough that this just wasn't 5 hours of fire Stefanski.
It feels fun. It's funny because they did lose to one of the worst teams, the worst team in the NFL, and yet today's felt like a lot of fun in many ways.
Now,
it's different.
That being said, this would be the time where, after last week finally saying, I'm done with Stefanski all the way, let's be done with this, I think it's time to restate that fact, because he was really bad yesterday. On the two-point conversion alone, taking Shador off the field, that in and of itself is a fireable offense.
And that's where he's getting a lot of heat today. So it's funny, because if you were trying to tell a bunch of national people or a bunch of people that are, the Albert Breers or Ross Tuckers that are going to come on, like, hey, listen, guys, you don't understand. The amount of special teams blunders, it's continued, and that's a hard sell for them. But the idea that everyone's talking about the failed two-point conversions and how we went about that, I think that bolsters the case in many ways.
Yeah, and I just think, like, if you're going to make that play, that's fine. But I think something that Kevin has continued to do less of, right? Because it's funny, like, I think we all treat, like, all Kevin Stefanski's pressers as, like, they're the same thing. No, there are times where he's been more forthcoming than other times. To basically, when he's asked questions about the two-point conversion decision, to basically steer the conversation to why it was, meaning like the actual play itself, as opposed to defend why Shador wasn't on the field.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that it's now 24 hours removed from that loss, exactly, and we still don't know why he thinks it's a good idea to remove the quarterback who's on a roll from the field in a goal line situation, when the goal, by the way, isn't just to win, Freudian slip, but also to give this quarterback chances to, like, prove himself.
All right, I'm going to give you an answer, okay? And I'm just trying to get into the brain of Stefanski. I have a nice quarter zip from the Stefanski collection on today, so I feel like maybe we can do this, okay?
Did you audit, like, a Ivy League online class?
That's next.
Okay.
We're right away from that, yeah. I think if you asked Stefanski, and this is why they had settled that they were going for this while the drive was happening, okay? And this is where he misses feel often. I bet if you asked him, truth serum, hooked them all up, he would tell you that play with Judkins and even you're not using Corley, you're using Gage at that point. I think he thinks that was the best play they have in their bag. That gives him the best chance to actually get the job done. And I think the easy and obvious response back to that, Nick, would be, well, then you don't know what you're looking at, because Shador Sanders should be the one on the field, and he's the one that's been authoring up 400 total yards of offense. How do you not pay attention to that? But this would also fall in line with the idea that for months, he didn't trust Shador yet. And so I think there's a lot of that happened in that game that hasn't carried over yet. And I think that just that came from a lack of trust in Shador, more so the faith and ability in Judkins and the Wildcat in order to get that job done. And I think he thinks that's the best play they could do in that moment.
I think the thing that has to happen over the next 4 weeks is on every Monday, where it's apparent that the coaching staff has again jobbed you. Like the Browns are a 3-win team with 4 games to go, in a huge part because of the coaching staff. And like, it really frustrated me when people on that call were like, well, but it's Tommy Reese's call. He is the head coach who focuses on one side of the ball, the side of the ball that made the dunderheaded play to take the ball out of the quarterback's hands. I have not minded the Wildcat in the other 2 games because I understood what they were doing to some point. Shador was on one. He was rolling. He was playing really good football.
Gotta let that man
and
cook.
And so, the offensive coordinator is going to want to get creative. The offensive coordinator is going to want to, Tommy Reese suggesting that or wanting to make that call is not the problem. That's what that guy's job is to do. The head coach in this scenario has ultimate veto power. But there's a segment of people who you can't even give Kevin that blame. I can't judge the guy for who's in the quarterback rooms to some people. I can't judge him on how they're coached. I can't judge him on the in-game decisions. Am I just supposed to believe that Kevin Stefanski is just... He's just opaque. He's just see-through. He actually isn't a real person. He's just a robot.
Oh, so that's interesting. I didn't, maybe I should have looked at it that way. I didn't look at it as people like defending Stefanski or anything with that. I just think people didn't understand how collaborative this whole thing is. And I think people didn't understand. I think in passing the torch to Tommy Reese, I think fans just thought that he just is all-encompassing, and then Stefanski was just, I don't know, going to sit idly by.
An espresso?
I know.
A little Tolstoy?
And so I think that's kind of what people were thinking, and they were obviously wrong about it, and we've been talking about it for weeks, the idea that this was going to look more like what Sirianni does in Philadelphia, where he's got a hand in all of it, and you'll leave games, and yes, he might have called 20% of the plays, he might have called 60% of the plays, but he's got his hand in the cookie jar in all of it, and they talk through everything.
And I'll just go back to this. You either coach it or you allow it. So with Bubba Ventrone, I'm not anti-Bubba Ventrone. I'm anti-losing repeatedly because of special teams. So when Bubba Ventrone, because here's the problem. Kevin Stefanski has said, and this is how this we know this because people repeat this, of what the Browns do not fire coaches in the middle of the season. They don't believe that there's a significant advantage there. They prefer to make changes at the end of the season. So you would rather look good to other people around the NFL than get serious about winning football games. That's all it tells me. So from now on, when Tommy Reese makes that decision and it goes poorly, guys, it's on Kevin. When Bubba Ventrone's special teams, when I'm 75 years old talking about Bubba Ventrone's special teams units,
I hope not.
As he's like Ted Williams, frozen head, screwing up special teams, it'll be on the head coach because Bubba Ventrone serves at the leisure of Kevin Stefanski, and the special teams have boned you 6 times this year.
I didn't want to ruin the rant, but are you suggesting you outlive Tommy Reese?
No, Tommy Reese, he's going to be a head coach somewhere. He'll be the next Kevin O'Connell.
Where was the Ted Williams frozen head coming into play?
Oh, that was Bubba Ventrone.
Oh, Bubba Ventrone.
Yeah, so you're suggesting
you outlive Bubba Ventrone.
Yeah, I'm also a frozen head in that scenario, by the way.
Okay, well, I thought because you said you're 75.
Been like 5 years, yeah.
I was like, okay, I didn't know where we were on the table.
I mean, Bubba's going to be like, well, actually, I think
Bubba's not that old.
I mean, isn't he
early 40s, I think?
He might actually be, we might be the same age.
Yeah, like the odds you outlive Bubba Ventrone, he's 43.
Yeah.
You're 40.
Yeah.
Probably not great.
No, they are. I've got medicine on my side.
And he doesn't?
No. My point is, medicine's going to be the great equalizer.
What do you mean?
No, there's a medicine, the advances in technology. I'm going to be bionic by the time I'm 50.
Okay.
But we'll get a bionic heart in there, going to get a bionic liver in there.
You're going to be like half computer then, half robot by that point.
Best version of me. Hell yeah.
I mean, Dylan's already partly computer, so like you're just stealing from him, basically.
Yeah. Well, no. I won't be a supercomputer. I'll be like a working computer. Okay, that wasn't great. I can even admit that was weak talk for me. The point is, It is your weekly reminder that Kevin Stefanski has no business being the head coach going forward. And there's no way. I would love to truly sit with Jimmy Haslam candidly in the suite and just say, what do you think about all this? What do you think about this decision? What do you think about this? Because quite frankly, there's no defending this.
Well, he might just say, wait for it. It's coming. He might. I would hope he'd say that at this point. Like, is there any world that we live in where Stefanski is the head coach next year?
Yeah.
Because like all the beat reporters continue to say the same thing they've been saying for a long time now, and that they don't feel like he's truly maybe they'll admit the seat is warm at this point, but they don't think that he's actually going to get fired.
Yeah, I just think I don't put anything past the hubris of Jimmy Haslam. And I don't know Jimmy, but I can only judge him off his decisions. Jimmy Haslam has run this organization arrogantly, and he has done it since the day he got here. And the thing that Daryl said that was spot on was the Browns have committed to this hyper-vigilant analytics model, and they're no better than they were the 10 years before these guys got here.
No.
So when people say, well, do you really think Jimmy has... Yes, he would. Yes, Jimmy believes he is ordained by God to run an organization, and by Job, at some point, he'll get it right.
If Stefanski still has his job next year, it's because he was in on the whatever we're calling this where they lose a lot of games. There would be a hard time convincing me otherwise. This coming from the owner that was giving bonuses to Hugh Jackson for losses, I'm of the belief that if he still has his job next year, the call was coming from inside the house. He was playing along with it the entire time.
I think, honestly, though...
It'll make a lot more sense of a Jets loss and a Titans loss, I'll tell you that much.
But here's the problem is, you're in some ways, you are giving him a pass for it then.
Well, then right. he's just executing his job as what they're basically instructing him to do. It's not giving him a pass because we still have to go through it. But I see where you're going.
But I think the idea that you know what they lost the game and that was the plan, guys. They're not good enough to win games. What makes you think they can successfully lose games? Do you know what I mean? Like, hey, we can't orchestrate. If when we put all of our brain power and the thought partners get together and we cup hands and we sing the Yale theme song or the Harvard theme song or the Penn theme song, and then we talk about it and we just sit there thinking, we're just, hey guys, how much better are we than everyone else? When you cannot successfully plan to win the game, why do you think they'd be good at losing games too on purpose?
I mean, they just they made the Titans look like an offense that the Titans had never been this year. There were so many parts of that game that were peculiar up until even the deciding part of the game and the 2-point conversion and what that call ended up being.
Go ahead.
No, or even where they've admitted already at this point that like that was the plan the entire time. Their plan the entire time for the 2-point conversion attempt was to use as many rookies as they can in a gadget play. Like it doesn't seem like that's plausible.
I was ready to fire Kevin Stefanski last week. I cannot imagine a world in which Jimmy Haslam didn't watch what happened. Having watched everything else that happened, and he didn't maybe realize that yesterday Kevin went a long way to firing himself.
That's why I'm saying if he's back next year, we have a lot of tinfoil hat conspiracy theorists to go ahead and talk to.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores, or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Not heard too many people come out and say, is Shador's performance not good?
No, that's what made this fun, though, is that it's unequivocal.
Yes.
Yeah. The biggest thing I saw was somebody suggesting something about it being like a bad third quarter. And it's like, all right, you're right. But it's like, are we going to get that nitpicky with this in this third NFL start? That's what we're going to do? Are we going to go down to like every quarter has to be the greatest quarter you've ever seen? Or else we got to just pinpoint and be like, bad third quarter. But then he overcame. And it's like, all right, guys.
No, I mean, every good quarterback in the NFL plays for just unimpeachable quarters in every game.
That's it. I mean, it's as if a game doesn't have flow and rhythm to it, and there's other circumstances around all that. And okay, whatever. Neither here nor there.
I just think when it comes to what you saw, there's something you just said there that boosted something. The first two games, if you were a Shador supporter, you saw enough that you could, hey, this is what I was talking about, right? Mm-hmm. But if you were a Shahater, you saw enough to kind of, you know, stoke your flame. This was the first definitive game by any Browns quarterback. There wasn't a game with Joe Flacco that I could say definitively he was excellent or he was awful. Well, actually, that's not true. I couldn't say it in the positive. I could only say it in the negative.
Yeah, we had some negatives, yeah.
Yeah. Dylan Gabriel, I could only say it in the negative, right? Like, even the Miami game. I was watching that game and I was like, guys, he actually left points on the table. He was bad yesterday. He just happened to get buoyed by an incredible defensive performance and winning the game.
The Minnesota game. It was a stretch for a lot of people.
Like, even if you try and, Shador lost the game. Did he, or did the defense give up a lot of big plays? And did Kevin Stefanski coach his way out of a win?
And I will tell this to people, too. And I've not checked the PFF grades myself because I just forgot about it until right now. I can check them. I promise you the PFF grades are not going to be as kind as people want them to be, because PFF, they are going to be very hard on that interception. That's PFF's grading system in general. They look at an interception like that, and they'll be hard. He graded out as the third best offensive player on the team. He got a 76.2 rating.
We'll take it.
We'll take it. It's not. Is that the world's greatest performance by PFF? No, of course not. No. It isn't. There's a lot of room for growth in that, according to PFF. But they're very harsh.
Big Stefanski.
Well, they're very harsh on interceptions. And Njoku graded out as the best, and then Fannin graded out as the second best.
216-474-0092. So I reiterated in the previous segment, I'm ready to see Stefanski gone. I saw more evidence of it. I think Stefanski is checked out, and I think that's a fair criticism of him. And yet, as furious, I mean, for multiple hours yesterday, I was furious with Stefanski, and somehow, because of the way Shador played, specifically in the fourth quarter, when it mattered the most, I came away more encouraged about Shador than I was mad at Stefanski. And guys, I've been mad at Stefanski for 2 years.
And I think that's kind of the fun part about today, is we get to talk about the encouraging sides of things, and we don't just get to sit here and complain about Stefanski, because it feels like we have a bunch of things we can yell about with Stefanski in regards to yesterday's game.
Let's go with Ben in Cali. Ben, welcome to the show.
My man, what's up with my brothers?
Hey, Ben, hold on, buddy. Man? How you doing?
Man, I am good. I am good. Quick. I just don't want this to go unspoken and hammered down. For months and months and months, there have been one or two very well-respected Cleveland pundits, media personalities, who said they have heard reports from the front office how dumb Shador is. He can't play football, doesn't understand a pro-style offense, kind of insult to Pat Shurmur, if you ask me. But then he gets zero reps. Kevin Stefanski admits that his first time ever taking a snap with the ones or the twos was the Ravens game. He had been named the backup quarterback the week before. That's bad football. You don't allow your backup to get a snap. But then, so all of a sudden, he has the best quarterback day out of everybody in 3 weeks of practice. But that's the dummy that doesn't understand how to play football, doesn't understand the plays. And I respect the reporter yesterday asking Stefanski, putting him on spot, like, hey, you know that did Shador check out of that play to Fanning? He was like, yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. He checked out of whatever BS play he caused.
Now, who are the pundits by names?
Yeah, please give us names.
Anybody on this station?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, I like you guys. You know what I mean? I don't want to put
that's
you guys
call.
In jeopardy.
Well, I think we've been the guys too, like, if we're being honest about this.
No, that's what I'm saying. I respect it. You call it straight down the middle. If you think it's bogus, it's bogus. If you think it's right, it's right. I appreciate it. I'm not a really big fan of, I don't want to say anybody's name because I don't want to start off this beef with you guys. Man, I'm out here in sunny California living my best life. I don't want to start trouble. But we all know who the main two people are who just disliked Shador from the beginning, possibly because of who his dad is, right? Maybe had a bad interaction with, Prime back in the 90s. Is what it is. Shador can never do good. The day after he gave the projects electricity and ice cream, like, you know what I mean?
Ben, like, hey. Ben, great stuff, buddy.
Thanks,
we appreciate
Ben. I appreciate you.
I was really hoping for a name.
Hey, well, you know what the name he was going to say there.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't even say that name.
Yeah, you can say that name, any of the names, really. Just don't say Zach Jackson or Josina Anderson right now.
Ben made a business decision on our behalf, and so I think that was a nice thing by him, maybe. Because I think he was just going to name our weekly guests.
But Ben,
all it was going to be.
I will say, buddy, if you name names, I mean, that we are the show that name names.
But he makes a good point, and this has kind of been what's been driving me insane, is the idea that, again, people are going to turn around and be like, oh, 3 weeks, all of a sudden, Stefanski really did it, but we haven't heard that today. We have not heard that today, and so it's good. People acting as if like a light bulb went on for Shador because Stefanski was able to unlock something, and I don't believe that's true.
All right, so this is what I struggle with. This is the catch 22. I do think that Kevin Stefanski delayed Shador's development by not giving him a chance to earn the opportunities that Dylan was just blatantly given. I said earlier today, I cannot escape this idea of, man, if you had just given Shador every rep that you had given Dylan since day one, would Shador have been this guy 5 weeks ago and the season would look wildly different?
Mm-hmm.
I cannot escape that.
Yeah.
At the same point, there's a part of me that's like, well, all right, does Kevin deserve any sort of credit for how well Shador played, given on how Shador looked against Vegas and how he looked against yesterday.
I feel like he's performing in spite of Stefanski, but that's kind of how I look at this with the offensive line that's down to four backups and then the fact that he had three different pass catchers, but really none of them are particularly good at this point. Although Jerry Jeudy, you made a great play. Let's stay in that conversation. I feel like this is a lot of him performing in spite of the people around him. There's credit to be given in certain spots, though. I don't want to completely ignore the idea that Stefanski's clearly done something to at least give him a chance to be able to do what he did yesterday, because he handcuffed him 2 weeks ago in that San Francisco game. So the credit I will give is the idea that he was at least open-minded enough to let Shador see the whole field this week.
Except for like the 2-point conversion. Oh, you're saying it in a different way.
I'm saying it in a different way.
Okay, but even like that, like, guys, I feel like maybe Kevin Stefanski ignored Shador Sanders' existence until 3 weeks ago? Yes. The same point, Shador looked really good at points in the pocket yesterday. That doesn't happen just because Shador showed up.
Well, so part of me wonders, and I guess I would love to find out who around the Browns were the ones that were actually doing this. Was that Stefanski? Because I'll give Stefanski, I'll dump a whole credit bucket on his front lawn if like he's the reason why, with like daily footwork sessions and everything else that has got him to a spot where obviously you saw the results that existed yesterday. But as far as I can tell right now, and again, well, I'm open to more information, but as far as I can tell right now, if I believe Stefanski was part of the big reason why we saw some sort of change, I wouldn't be the person saying you need to fire Stefanski. I'd be the person saying Stefanski's along for the ride now, and I don't feel that way. And because I don't feel that way, obviously, that's my answer.
216-474-0092. Does Kevin Stefanski get credit for the jump in Shador's play from the first week against the Raiders to this week and how well he looked there? Let's go with Mike in Stowe. Mike, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, guys. How we doing?
Doing all right. What you got for us?
So, you know where I stand on this. I'm not going to change my opinion of this by the week or by the game, and I'll get to a couple of things. Shador looked a lot better, and he's doing it with the same crappy line that everybody's been playing with all year. So good for him. He's showing a little bit of promise, and I do like seeing it. The second lowest completion percentage in the NFL right now, nobody's talking about that. He's got to work on that, but he is moving in the right direction. Let's get to the coach part of it. So I hear so many people call up here saying about conspiracy theories about, you know, Kevin Stefanski's so busy trying to keep things from being a certain way and spending way more of his time trying to make it bad for him than when he should have been doing it good. And it's so hard to listen to. It really tells you what sometimes people spend way too much time thinking about, which is just the basic facts. We have a terrible offensive line, and our defense lost its game yesterday. Not our offense, not Kevin Stefanski. Yeah, you can talk about the two-point conversion, whether or not he should be all over the special teams or whatnot. But our defense gave up 31 points to, you know, that crappy team from Tennessee, who has one win all year. So let's just go there and not – let's talk more about that. And, again, I've been on here telling you guys from the very beginning, we are not supposed to win a lot of games this year. And, again, at this point in the season – why we'd even be talking about trying to win 7 or 8 or how much different that would be, I don't get it. Nobody wants to contend that except people saying, oh, well, we got to get the culture of losing out of here. Look,
Mike, you know, Mike, we've got, Mike, real players, quick, buddy. We have people in the Cleveland media saying under no circumstances is Kevin Stefanski losing his job. That's why the conversation's happening. There's a fair amount of people in town who think that's bat bleep crazy that decision's already been made.
But the things aren't true, Nick. They're not facts. They're just speculation.
What isn't true?
What you're saying right now is you think that Kevin should have been doing more for Shador all season. Well, what?
By the way, Mike, I've said that since training camp. I've said it was asinine that Dylan Gabriel was getting some sort of magical treatment that Shador wasn't. All right? The reason is there should be no difference between the two. It's a third and fifth round pick.
So what? We already talked about the draft pick don't matter. It's enough of where he was drafted. You said at the beginning of the year that doesn't matter, and it doesn't matter now either. So the bottom line is this. I'm just going to ask you one quick question. You've all talked about firing this guy, and you got torches and pitchforks, and half this town, maybe a little more does. But again, do you guys, anybody out there know what a tank season looked like? That's what this is.
He's trying to win, Mike. He is trying to win. Why would Kevin Stefanski want to tank after winning 3 games last year?
Because we still don't have enough talent to win.
Why does Kevin Stefanski care about that? Two straight 3-win seasons gets your ass fired, no matter who the GM is or no matter what the picks are.
And about that, let's talk about what has he been working with and why hasn't he had it? Because of him?
What about the defense? Can the defense develop players? I can't do this, Mike. I'm sorry. One, I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
I lost his point seven times.
Like the whole point, we've been grading this thing. Listen, if you want to talk about other shows that ping pong back and forth and flip flop every other day, depending on how the sun shines, that's fine. You didn't tell me that this season was going to be a bad season first. We told you in January when we called out to everyone, guys, they were bad last year and they weren't bad on purpose and they're going to be bad again. All right. This idea, I just do not, there's no defense of Kevin Stefanski. Stop acting like he's Oliver Twist asking, please, sir, can I have some more?
Yeah, and it's important we continue to talk about it because, as you mentioned, right now it feels like it's almost split between people in the media as to what's going to happen. And like if you just kind of let it pass, you're not going to get the end result that we want here. And yeah, I know it sounds harsh, but it's like I want Stefanski gone. I think he's a nice guy. I think he'll have success maybe in other spots, maybe not as a head coach, but maybe as an offensive coordinator.
Shermer. I think he's
ways,
a hell of a human being that can't coach his way out of a paper
in
bag.
In many ways,
as a head coach.
I kind of want to set him free of this whole situation. I think at this point, Stefanski might look at it as a firing, as like a thank goodness I get to be out of this, because he's not cut out for this here. Not at this time.
All I hear every day from people that want to defend Stefanski is, you just know he's going to go somewhere else and be good. It's six years. You guys are acting like when they fired Shurmur after 2 years. Like, I do not understand. By 6 years, you have a wealth of information on a coach. Do I think Kevin is an awful coach? No. I shouldn't have said the can't coach his way out of a paper bag. But he's not a good enough coach. Right? It, like, there are coaches in the NFL who, simply because you have them, you're going to have some chance of competitiveness in the season. That's McVay. That is Mike Tomlin. That is John Harbaugh. And that their low water marks are 6 or 7 games. 6-7. Not 3 damn games. When you lose 3 games 2 years in a row, it tells me you're not a good enough coach. Just because you're not Hugh Jackson doesn't mean you're a good coach. There is no defense of Kevin Stefanski. And every time you try and put just one nodule of blame on this guy, he is the Teflon Don. Is it because he's a zaddy? Is it because he's just a hot zaddy? Piece of beefcake? Is it because some of y'all want that business? What it is?
What's a zaddy?
I swear, this is Cliff Kingsbury. If Kevin Stefanski looked like my fat ass, there's another 10% of people in this town that would be
Kingsbury
out on
already got. You didn't have that long in Arizona.
Jeez.
You didn't have that long
almighty,
in Arizona.
Almighty, guys.
It's tough. Listen, it's tough. I feel like we've done this show for over a year, though. You know what I mean? We started talking about and really saying that we'd fire Stefanski over a year ago. Last year we did this. We did this at the end of the season. It didn't do anything. It didn't get what we wanted done. And ultimately, what I want to have happen is I want a new head coach. I'm tired of this coach. I don't think he's particularly good at this job, and I want to see something new. That's not so hard, guys. And it's after 6 years. I would think the majority of you guys would as well.
You know, you guys just put everything on Stefanski, like wins and losses, like performance of the quarterback position.
Every week we're complaining about major blunders that he has. I don't understand how it always goes unchecked.
Like penalties, like team, like simple stuff, like, you know, like procedural penalties.
I
like
saw
guys.
Our buddy Aaron Schatz, by the way, tweeted out that the Browns special
teams,
since 1975, it's the sixth worst special teams, according to his metrics, in NFL, in the entire NFL in that stretch.
And not Kevin Stefanski's fault. That's Jimmy Haslam's fault.
Like, I mean, what else do you want to blame this on, guys?
You know what? That's Gage Larvadan's fault. That's what it is.
Before Shador in this last week, it was unquestionably the worst offense in the NFL. One Albert Breer had said the worst offense he's seen in the previous 3 years. So you have an all-time bad special teams, and what was, until last week, or really yesterday, an all-time bad offense, but none of this falls on him?
But JP, he's only the head coach, right?
Yeah, he's only the guy at the top.
The head coach. That's
as an offensive mind?
Yeah.
By the way, going through 13 quarterbacks?
And by the way, having a defensive head coach, basically, in Jim Schwartz. But he gets all the credit for the defense. I'm about to turn into Mike. We like Mike and Stowe. It's okay. It's a great Monday here. We had some. Shador played really well. It's okay. We're all right. We're okay. We're all right.
It'll be all right. Just say it one more time.
We're okay. Even if you want to give him credit, if you want to give him credit for getting Shador to improve over the last 3 weeks, I'm sure that is proper.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. so unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Like, I think that is a fair thing to do, but it doesn't offset... Hey, you thought Dylan Gabriel was more appropriate to start. And, like, this idea, this defense of Kevin that, well, you know, Shador was a work in progress. He just needed a lot of work. He needed a lot of development, right? Well, how does one develop a player? Would you give him a lot of reps in, like a practice situation before the season?
You mean maybe don't just desert him off to the field on the left when everyone's on the right and then tell him to throw to a bunch of practice squad players?
Yeah. Like, would you...
While all the coaches are over on the right side, you know, evaluating the first team?
And, like, when a player was doing well, would you give them more opportunities and maybe not wait until the chosen one in front of him got injured, right?
Yeah, I would think when Stefanski looks back on this season, I'd venture to think the misevaluation of Dylan Gabriel and how he did this with Shador, I mean, that's the biggest mistake you could possibly make. Well, will he look at it as a mistake, though?
Yeah, I think that's another point. And I love hearing coaches say, talk about self-scouting, right? Hey, this last year, here's what I kind of took away from what happened last year, and here's what I kind of realized I need to work on going forward. I would be blown away if Kevin didn't on some level actually do that. But the problem is, whatever process is in place, I don't have the results to show that it actually has changed.
Well,
that's
we know he does do this, right? Because his reaction last year to leading the league in interceptions was to come back and tell a guy like Joe Flacco, you don't throw the ball more than 5 yards.
Yeah.
So, like, clearly he does do some self-scouting. He looks at it and sees where he went right, where he went wrong. I just wonder if you truly asked him, would he think back to himself like, oh, man, we clearly messed up in that decision with Shador? Or would he remain pretty consistent with the idea that he thinks there's something to Dylan Gabriel and he made the right call for himself at the time?
I think by this point, I do think Kevin, I think the reporting around Kevin is enough to make me believe that Kevin thinks he's a victim in this. Because I've just heard too many people being like, well, Kevin doesn't have any power. And Kevin, I mean, they just force all this upon Kevin and they foist it all on him and it's just not fair. That's not coming from Andrew Berry. So Jimmy Haslam's this is all me. I'm doing all this.
Yeah, this has to be his new spin, though. So, again, he might be getting everything out there different than what he actually believes at the heart of the matter, mainly because he has to now for self-preservation. He's got to spin the whole narrative about everything, about the idea that these quarterbacks weren't good enough, the roster wasn't good enough, Haslam's a bad owner and is intrusive and too many cooks in the kitchen. Like, that's got to be his new message. But we know at night, Kevin. We know. When you go to sleep at night, we know what's going on.
With that product in your hair, that's, I'm a little jealous.
You think
it sleeps
with product in the hair?
It probably does. It's great hair, man. That's a great.
He's probably got like really silk pajamas and everything as well, and like a real nice, it's a real nice setup. But you know what happened here.
Chris in Euclid, welcome to the show. What you got for us?
Yeah, I don't think we should really just fire him if we don't have anybody that we know is going to be able to come in and take over. I mean, like, if you fire him and it's just like Eberflus or some other idiot, then it really doesn't make sense. And like, don't you think maybe Barry should have to go too? Because you probably don't want him picking the next guy. He got us into this mess with Watson. So it's like, doesn't the whole thing have to go, or is it just Kevin?
So there's two things, and we appreciate the call, buddy. Good stuff. One, I don't necessarily agree with this. I think Andrew has been worse at his job than Kevin has been at his job. But I think two things go on. One, I don't think Jimmy Haslam wants to fire both guys, because it's hard enough for him to get one guy right, let alone two guys right. And
yeah.
I think the recency bias is on Andrew Berry's side.
Sure is.
So the second thing is, because Daryl tweeted something about this similar of like, you know, I think Jimmy Haslam believes that, you know, you don't fire a guy unless you know you have something better after him. One, you had a whole host of great coaches last offseason that were right there if you wanted to move on from Kevin Stefanski. You weren't ready to.
Vrabel, Ben Johnson.
Certainly. And if you want to throw in Belichick and Pete Carroll, oh, that doesn't age great right now. But the other part of that is, you never know. The whole point is not, I definitively can tell you, I have a Hall of Fame coach in waiting. That never happens in the NFL unless you luck into it. You can't predict that. You have to be confident in your process. It's not about, oh, is he better than Kevin Stefanski? I definitively, yeah. No. Well, you're looking for a better fit.
Why are we sticking up for Stefanski in that setting, though? Like, I'm not going to say, the garbage can could do a better job than Stefanski. There's value in Stefanski, but I just have a hard time thinking we have to go to bat for him in this instance. What you get will be sufficient. If you replace Stefanski, at the bare minimum, it's going to be better than 3 wins in the past 2 seasons.
Yeah, I mean, so listen, if they just fire him to fire him, yeah, that's a righteous concern to have. But the reality is, none of it, like, you can have a good coach. You could say you're going to replace Stefanski with Bill Belichick, and it's not a guarantee it's going to be better. There's no guarantee. All of it's guesswork. The point is, do you have enough to make a decision on Kevin Stefanski? And after everything that we saw yesterday, after everything through 6 years, like I think it was my guy Thomas was like, you know, he's a 2-time coach of the year. I don't give a rip about that, right? If you want to say he's got a playoff win and 2 playoff appearances, now you've got something that might interest me in a conversation. But 2 coaches, no. Do we have enough evidence that he is a great coach, good coach, bad coach, whatever? Yes, it's 6 years.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.